Hello, welcome to Lifehouse Church Podcast. It's so good you've joined us today. This message is delivered by Pastor Paul Hollingworth. Please sit back, enjoy, listen to what's said. For any more information about Lifehouse Church, please visit our website, www.lifehousechurch.co.uk, or head over to one of our social media pages. You'll find us at Lifehouse 12. Enjoy the message, and we'll see you soon.
We're just going to spend a few moments together in the presence of God. We're going to open his word and we're going to allow God to speak to us for these next few moments. And something I really feel, I guess, just pressing on my heart, I just wanted to share with you. And I don't know if this ever happened to you or not, but on a few occasions I've arrived at home or maybe had a phone call with Sarah. And I'm sure she didn't mind me sharing this, but hey, I'd never ask permission. My collar's a bit skew-whiff, apparently, so there you go. I don't know whether it's happened to you, but I've been home before, walked through the door and said, "Hey, honey, I'm home." We don't speak like that, really. But I walk through the door and I'll say, "Hey," and she'll say, "Hey, just to inquire, really, like, am I all right to still meet some of my friends tonight a little bit later?" And I'm like, well, this is a bit of an awkward thing right now. One, I didn't know about what you were doing. Now you're asking for my permission. But how many of you men know in this moment, if you're married in this place, you'll know what I'm talking about. If you in that moment decide to lift your voice and say, actually, I don't want you to do that, you're asking for a bit of an interesting evening. And, you know, in them moments, I have said to her and expressed to her before, I said, listen, look, at the end of the day, you're asking me to do something that you've already arranged to do. You just want my rubber stamp of approval. Maybe there's some good wisdom in there. Maybe etiquette and politeness always needs to be in our lives. But I just really wanted to chat to us today for a few moments about why you even ask. Why do you even ask? Why do you even ask? Part of my response to Sarah really is, why are you even asking me? You've already arranged to do it. You've already planned to do it. You already know what time you're meeting, what you're wearing, where you're going. You've got the budget for it. You're on your way. And I just wonder sometimes, as I speak to myself in this moment, I wonder sometimes whether we're all like this with God at times. I mean, feel free to holler back to me and, you know, agree, and maybe you don't want to shout amen, but you know, you can say, yeah, you're right. But we inform God of what we plan to do and what we are doing, and we just seek for his approval. It sounds a bit hard-hitting, I know, but I really don't want there to be a sense ever in the way that we build church and we walk together and as disciples, as we walk with Jesus, that we ever go to God with our plans already in place and we just seek for his approval. I'm not really sure that we should be asking for God's blessing on what potentially he cannot bless. We can sit before God and you can lift your voice and you can declare it till everybody can hear you in the neighborhood. But I'm not really sure God is in a position where he will want to bless something that potentially he can't. In other words, we make decisions based on our feelings, our emotions. I was talking to my daughter just a week or so ago, and she said this brilliant question. I think questions are really, really good. If you're listening, wherever you're listening from, questions are a great point in our lives. To not ask a question is a point where we actually arrive at a place, I believe, where we're just not learning anymore. And she said to me these words. She said, "Dad, when it comes to a particular big decision that she was referring to, she says, how will I know if God has spoken to me?" I was like, that is a brilliant question. Let's talk about it. How will I really know? If I feel that God has spoken to me, how many of you know what I'm talking about? You feel that God has spoken to you. How do I actually know whether this is what God wants from my life or whether it's just me kind of going by my feelings and emotions and making it up? I dare to say that every single one of us in the room at times, every single one of you listening right now has at times made decisions based on our feelings as opposed to actually maybe what God is possibly saying. Yeah. I said these three things to her. I said real quick, if you want to jot this down, because I really feel if you're making a big decision at this present moment in time, you have decisions on the horizon. I think these three things are really key. Number one is I said to my daughter, and I said the same with you people here today, that it's important to have God's peace on a situation. When I say have God's peace, you know, the Bible tells us, Philippians 4 verse 7 tells us that in all things that we can ask for the peace of God, which will transcend everything that we know. It will go beyond the limits of everything we know. So in other words, it may feel uncomfortable, the decision you're about to make, but ultimately God can bring his peace to you. So it might be a tough decision that God's asking you to do, but he will bring peace to you, and you will know that even though this feels difficult, this feels a little bit counterculture, it feels like I'm going to go against the flow of my friends, it's going to be a little bit different, but you can find the peace of God when we seek him and ask him. Secondly, though, importantly, is this. Not only do we need to go to God first and foremost and seek him for peace, is secondly is to search his word. I am big on this, and I think this is so important for us, that when it comes to key decisions, if we've ever chatted together and you tell me about maybe a decision that you're thinking of making, I will always refer back to it's important to go to God's word and what does God say about it. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that all scripture, everybody say all scripture is God breathed, all of it. And it is useful. It's useful to teachers. It's useful to rebukers, like we don't like that bit, but it is useful for rebuking as well. It tells us when we get it wrong. I could highlight some decisions now that I know for some of us we will have made recently. And actually, I think sometimes we make decisions based on our feelings. And actually, if we'd sought the peace of God, gone to his word, maybe God would have given us a different answer. Whatever you're currently searching for and seeking answers for, I do believe the word of God holds it. Any amens? I believe God's word holds it. Thirdly, to seek wisdom from another. James 1 verse 5 says, if you lack wisdom, any of you should ask and he will give you wisdom. And I think it's really important that process, as it were, making decisions that we seek God's peace, that we go to his word and ensure that our lives are aligned with what God's word's saying. Because at that point, I would say stop. If it's counterculture to the scriptures, I'd stop. I'd just back out. However good it feels, however it feels like I'm going to get a quick win, whatever it may be, I would stop at that point. And thirdly, if you get through those two phases, get to phase three and go and seek out wisdom from another good brother or sister and say to them, this is what I'm feeling, this is what I'm sensing, this is what I believe I need to do, what do you think? And I believe in that process that God can really help us. You see, because it's important that we ask the question. David, here in this passage of scripture that I'm going to read to you, David had been through a heck of a lot of things in his life. He's known for many, many things, but one of the things that David's not really known for, or we kind of skirt past and leave behind, is what you'll find in the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 3 to around verse 8. You'll see this whole passage of scripture that lets us know that David had everything. And when it says everything in the Bible, I believe it's telling the truth. He had everything taken from him. He was robbed, stolen from him by the enemy. At times you will have felt like everything has been robbed and stolen from you, from the enemy. Maybe dreams, things that have happened, relationships, been stolen, been robbed. And it says of David that in that moment, verse 4 tells us that David then began to weep before God, because how many of you know we're all real people, eh? And when you lose things, when things go in a drift, and it's all right, Pastor, telling me that I should be asking God for peace and that, but when everything gets stolen, in that moment, it tells us that David, he knelt before God, and him and a few of his brothers began to weep before God. And then in verse 8, it tells us that David then inquired of God what to do. That's the word I really want to kind of hone in today, that you might not use in your everyday language, but in these next 15 minutes, I really pray, Spirit of God, that you would speak to my heart, speak to each and every one of us watching, gathering right now, that, Lord God, we would take a pause moment to inquire of what you would have for our lives. Oh God, we need your wisdom. We need your clarity. We need your viewpoint, your perspective, Lord God. And at times, even though it seems difficult, I pray, Spirit of God, because I believe you're alive and you're kicking. You're in this place with us today. You're walking side by side with us. I pray, Spirit of God, you would speak to us, prevent us from making decisions that are going to change our course and our destiny. I pray, Lord God, that we would be people that want to walk in step with you, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. This is what 2, 2 Samuel 5 tells us, verse 17, it says, when the Philistines heard, so Philistines being the enemy at that time, I'm not going to do you a great theological exposition, but when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king, he'd lost everything, he inquired of God, but God still appointed him to the position he needed him in. God hasn't finished with yet. Quote the singer today encouraging us, God's not finished yet. He will finish what he started. You know, you might feel like you've lost it, but God will always bring it back on cue. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king, they weren't happy and they went out in full force to search for him. But David heard about it and went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines had come and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David, here it is again, verse 19, note it, it's important to him. David inquired of the Lord. No knee jerks, no panic. Like, here they come, they're gathering, they're spreading out everywhere, and they're coming for us, boys. No knee jerk, verse 19, David inquired of the Lord. Shall I go and attack the Philistines? He gives God a question. Will you deliver them into my hands? Question, and the Lord answered him. The Lord answered him. I'm believing today God's going to answer some people today. You're going to hear clearly from God as you drive home today, as you eat ice cream, you'll hear from God. The Lord answered him, go, for I will surely deliver the Philistines into your hands. So David went to Baal Perazim, and there he defeated them. He said, as waters break out, the Lord has broken out against my enemies before me. So that place was called Baal Perazim. The Philistines abandoned their idols there, and David and his men carried them off. Once more, the enemy, he's not relenting. COVID-19, the enemy will have tried to do what he can during COVID-19, but believe you me, this next season moving forward, the enemy will try to come again. It says, the enemy, once more, the Philistines came up and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David, again, verse 23, David inquired of the Lord, and he answered, do not go straight up, circle around behind them and attack them in the front of the poplar trees. As soon as you hear the sound of marching the tops of the poplar trees, move quickly, because that will mean the Lord has gone out in front of you to strike the Philistine army. Come on. So David did as the Lord commanded him, and he struck down the Philistines. David did as the Lord commanded him. You see, to inquire, younger generation, younger population of people, understand me here, inquire is not a word that you will normally come across, but it is a word that has never lost its meaning or its identity, and why it's purposed and placed in the appropriate places in Scripture. It means to ask for details, or ask or speak to consult with someone. I love the way that it speaks of David being a man that consulted with his friend, consulted with Father God. He spent time with him and said, God, I've messed up so many times. It is so important for me to consult you for your opinion. The problem is, in this day and age that we live in, I think there's three things that for all of us, we occasionally engage with, we inquire of when it comes to making key decisions. We have all, over these last few months, made some key decisions. All of us have. I would like to have a conversation with you to know where you've been basing your opinions, your decision-making processes from. One of these three things may be one of them. Number one is experience, previous experience. The more I grow older, I'm 46 this week, just dropping it out there. On Thursday, I'll be 46. If anybody feels like leaving flowers on my doorstep, I know I'm 46. You never know it. But one of the things life's taught me is that experience can lead me to a place where I start to live by feelings. This is what happened to me back then, so maybe this time that will happen again. And we can be so easily led by experience. And ultimately, I always want to remind us as a church, as individuals, we are body, flesh, we are soul, we have emotions, and we are spirit. But we will never, as a Christian population, as Christian believers, you are never being called to be led by your soul. We're spirit people. Feelings can be fatal. If you live by your feelings, it will be fatal at times. We can't lead by emotions. Anybody agree with me? Secondly, social media. Oh, well, I don't do social media. I mean, I'm a Christian, so I don't engage with social media is around for all of us. I was listening to a guy speaking the other week, and he said this, that the biggest need that we have in our generation at this present moment in time is Bible literacy, biblical literacy. Because we are getting our opinions and making our decision-making processes through what social media, or maybe you don't engage with social media, maybe you're getting your opinions based on what your peers and other people say. And I really feel that when it comes to inquiring, we need to ensure that we're not just inquiring of our previous experience. Oh yeah, well I know how things tick and I've been around the block a few times. I know how to get myself out of this one. I know the way forward in this situation. No, hold on, experience. Hold on, social media that says, this is what everybody else is doing currently, so this must be what we need to think. This is what everybody else is saying about racism. This is what we must think. This is what everybody else is saying about homosexuality. This is what we must think. This is what everybody else is saying about the church. This is what we must think. And I saw a post by quite a famous guy the other day talking about the church, and everybody's there like to what he says, because what he said is right. He was talking about the fact that he might be churchy, but he doesn't need to go to church. I've not read anywhere in Scripture that Jesus didn't die for the local church. He died for the church. Experience social media. We can even be inquiring constantly of, here's my dilemma. What does my bank account say? Money. Here's my dilemma, David. God, what do you say about this? Is this a move forward or is this a retract? Three things: experience, social media, and money. But listen, let's just journey through. I've told you that David, he'd lost everything. He's got lots of experience of what it feels like to be distraught and downhearted and broken. But Matthew 11:28, Jesus tells us, come to me, all you are weary, and I will give you... We're going to go for it. Come to me, all you are weary, and I will give you... rest. In other words, we're fighting or we're trying to navigate through situations that Jesus actually wants us to stop and spend time with him to see what his opinion is. What is Jesus's opinion? I've been many times wanted to administer my opinion, my anger, my choice words on other people. But at times when I've been engaged in those moments where I feel like maybe this is not a battle I need to be battling, I've decided to say, Jesus, I'm coming to you because I need to know what your opinion, what's your wisdom on this, Lord God? And it's so key for us to know that. But you see, in Matthew 11:28, which is such a well-known verse, as I've said, come to me, all you are weary, and I'll give you rest. Matthew 11:29, because we always need to read scripture, you know. Don't just read the verse that suits you real well. Read what it says before it. Read what it says after it as well, and look at the whole picture, because Jesus actually speaks to us and says, come to me and I will give you rest, but so that he will take on his yoke. In other words, you take on his perspective, his spirit, which is easy. And he says, so that you may, Lord God, help us, I pray, so that you may learn. Jesus says, hey, you're over here and you're busy in this with, and you've got your opinions about how you should lead things, do it this, I do it this way, do it that way. And Jesus says, no, come to me. I'm going to give you rest and I'm going to teach you the rhythms of grace. I'm going to teach you how to respond in this situation. Slow down on pressing the green button. Come to me. And it says that David inquired of the Lord. Three times in just a short space of time, a man that has learnt so much. But he had the ability to ask God, what is it? Why is this happening? What do you need me to do in this season? He understood Isaiah 55, who tells us, seek the Lord while he may be found, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are our ways his ways. He understood scripture, and he knew that in that moment where he just wanted probably to go and tear the Philistines shred from shred, and I'm going to go straight up to them and I'm going to take them down. He inquired of the Lord. God had a different plan. See, why do we ask? If you're asking some questions of God, and you want to know, as a church today, what we're saying is, we're saying how important it is to inquire of Him, of His plans and His purposes. In 2 Samuel 5, 23 to 25, these are the words that he says. David inquired of the Lord, and he answered. He tells him, do not go straight up, but circle around behind them and attack them in front of the poplar trees. As soon as you hear the sound of the marching in the tops of the poplar trees, move quickly. Boy, imagine walking down your normal walk tonight for your little bit of recreation and you hear people walking around in the tops of the trees. I reckon you'd move quickly too. You see, David inquired of the Lord, and ultimately, why do we ask? Number one, we ask because God will always provide. He will always provide a path. You see, David inquired and God spoke to him. He took a moment, as I spoke to a gentleman outside church, I hope you don't mind me mentioning if you're watching now, but I spoke to a gentleman and he said, if only I'd listened to this message 2 weeks ago. He said, I got myself into a little bit of a... I was like, listen, God's still listening and He's still available. I said, just pause and just go and inquire of God. Grab a coffee with somebody, grab some wisdom. Say, what do I need to do in this moment? You see, because as David paused, rather than him going straight attacking full face on, God gave him a different plan. Psalm 119 verse 105 has always been a promise to us and always will be, that God's word is a lamp to our path and a light to our feet. He will show you the way and He'll guide your steps. It looks bleak and it looks daunting. He'll guide you and He'll lead you, if only. Inquire of the Lord. Inquire of the Lord. His direct route was taken off the map, as we've read, and you know, the long route will always try our patience. Anybody feel like they're doing the long route? Anybody in church right now ready to confess, or if you're online, I better finish that sentence off, confess, because that's what, we don't do that kind of thing here. But if you can agree with me in this moment, maybe you feel like I've had to take the long route. I can't see some of you. It feels like it's the long route. I've been praying and I've been asking God and inquiring of God, and I just really believe this, that the long route will try your patience, but it will save you from battles you were never intended to fight. He's going to save you from some battles that you were never intended to fight. The New King James Version says this, Proverbs 16 verse 9, a man deviseth his ways, but the Lord directeth his steps. You see, why do we ask? We ask because He'll provide a path. We ask because He will stir our spirits. He says that as he's inquiring, he says that you'll hear the sound of marching in the treetops. I said to God, God, how I need an awakening in my spirit. I believe that God will do things this week for you in your world. As you inquire of Him, He'll stir something in the spirit realm that will cause your attention to take your eyes off yourself and lift my eyes to the mountains. Psalm 121, it ties in. I look to the heavens. Where does my help come from? My help comes from God. You see, the Spirit of God stirred in him. And my, oh my, if there's something we need a stirring of the Spirit of God within inside of us. Who do we inquire of? We inquire of Him. And ultimately, why we ask is because He will create the courage to continue. He will create the courage to continue. In verse 25, it tells us, but God says to him, look, I'm going to go out before you and the battle will be yours. It's called the Spirit of God at work within our lives. The Spirit of God is at work in your life ahead of you right now. I just really believe there's a moment here for each and every one of us. As we're going to stand in a moment, there's a moment for us just to inquire of God. And we're going to believe that God is going to refresh and renew the Spirit within inside us, to know that He's at work, He's moving, He's not finished. He's the way maker. Why don't we just stand wherever we are in this place? When we ask, we will understand our position and we will receive the courage to continue. This is how it works. Acts 1 verse 8 tells us this, that you, whoever, will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Why do we inquire of God? Because when we inquire of God, He might not always just download maps and plans into our lives, but when we inquire of God, His Spirit comes to fill us and He says, I'll give you the courage to continue. Maybe just in this moment right now, you might feel so uncomfortable at home or in the building. But maybe just surrender and just lift your hands to heaven. We lift our hands to heaven as a sign of just God's authority, the fact that He is the name. But it's just a moment just to inquire of God. Say, God, rather than me press green right now, I want to inquire of you, Lord God. What is your plan, your purpose for my life?
Brilliant. Thank you for engaging with us today. What an incredible message that was. Just remember, if you want to know anything else about who we are, where we are, what we do, head over to that website, www.lifehousechurch.co.uk, or on our social media platforms, @lifehouse12. Thanks, be blessed, and we'll see you again soon.